Christopher, thank you. Our next panelist is Joe Dubray, senior economist in the Development Division of the OECD's Trade and Agricultural Directorate. He currently divides his time between research projects on food security and the role of agriculture in economic growth and poverty. He holds a PhD in agricultural economics from Washington State University. And prior to his work with the OECD, he was a senior economist in the Australian Bureau of Agricultural and Resource Economics. Please join me in welcoming Joe Dubray.
I'll give you the handshake.
Officially. All right.
Good. Thank you, Peter, and thanks to the organizing committee for inviting me along to this. I'm going to focus my remarks this afternoon on food policy responses to food security in the short, the medium, and the long run. And I want to spend a bit more time on the long run because I think much has been said already about short and medium run responses, and I think there are a few points that need to be made when we view the problem from a long run perspective. I suppose many of you know about the OECD. For those that don't, I think it's I like to think of it as a place where people who work for our member governments go to discuss best practice in government policy, best practice for macro and sectoral policies. And of course, Paris is not a bad place to go to discuss best policy. Peter, how am I doing on time?
Good.
Good. I'll continue then.
Continue.
Okay. There's lots of people working on food security or issues related to food security at the OECD, but most of us are either in one of either two directorates. The Development Cooperation Directorate is famous for monitoring and tracking the amount of money that OECD countries give to developing countries in development assistance or in aid. And that includes the amount that's given for agriculture. We've seen some of those statistics over the course of the last couple of days. In train is proposals for tracking development assistance targeted specifically for food security. The Trade and Agricultural Directorate, where I work, is famous for reporting how much OECD countries give to their own farmers. And sometimes those two things are juxtaposed to make a point or for comic relief. So what about improving food security in the short run? What policy actions are most appropriate? Well, the judgment seems to me to be the ones that were taken in response to this successive waves of food, fuel, and financial crises. I think from the meetings I've gone to and the people that I talk to, the World Food Program in particular deserves high marks, as does the High Level Task Force. And along the way, we've learned some important policy lessons. I think I'm really taken, and this echoes some comments that Jim made earlier. I'm taken by the potential for conditional and unconditional cash transfer programs, and I would support the idea that those should feature more in these kind of events. Well, The food price crisis has eased somewhat. I mean, it's still with us, but we now can turn, as we have done over the last couple of days, we can turn to considering the kind of responses that are appropriate for the medium term. And I want to focus on a couple of those in particular, enhancing our capacity to supply. And in that context, I'd like to put my finger again, as many have done, on the need for increased attention to agricultural research and development. You know, economists on this subject disagree about a lot of things. In particular, as an example, I would take issue with my colleague Chris Delgado on the impact of speculation on prices during that spike. But one thing we seem to all agree on, and there is a mountain of empirical evidence to back us up, is that the social rates of returns to investments in agricultural research are high. And it is particularly concerning that we've seen a slowdown in the rate of growth in spending on agricultural research. It's also important to realize that investments in agricultural research constitute a global public good, and we ought to be looking for ways to enhance ongoing efforts to improve international cooperation in the provision of funds and the coordination of agricultural research. There will be a lot more to be said on trade tomorrow. I'll just make the point that we've got work going on aid for trade in particular, and there is, I think it is important that we recognize that looking forward, trade has to be seen as a part of the solution, not as a part of the problem, that the pursuit of complete self-sufficiency for all is going to come at a high price. Okay, no presentation by an economist would be complete without some numbers, and I've got some rather confusing ones for you. Hafez Ganen made an important point last night, saying in noting that we've got more than a billion people suffering from hunger today, but before the crisis, we had nearly a billion people suffering from hunger, and that had been true for a long time. And before the crisis, that was a period characterized by global plenty of which the world has not seen before. So it's got to be more than about agriculture. This table compares total factor productivity trends in developing and developed regions of the world for a period 1960 to 2005, with projections for the period 2005 to 50. Now, total factor productivity is, as many of you would know, it's the ratio of total sector output to total inputs. It is a superior measure for measuring agricultural performance as compared to the more familiar crop yields. Crop yields can be a misleading indicator of agricultural performance for a number of reasons. One particular example is if the technical change takes the form of enhancing land extensive techniques as opposed to land intensive techniques, and we can go into that later if we wish. Well, what does it show? It shows that up until from 1960 into 2005, agricultural total factor productivity growth in the developing region lagged population growth. So it lagged population growth, and it would have been lagging demand growth if we folded in income. That turned around in the 1990s in the developing world. Total factor productivity growth was at least keeping up with population. If we look at the developed region of the world, we see that even during that period, total factor productivity growth was outpacing population growth, and during the latter part of the period, it was outpacing demand growth. And how do we know that? We know that because in developed regions of the world, in North America and in Europe, we actually saw a reduction, a slight reduction in total input, total factor use in agriculture. So as we go to the, as we look to the future, if we simply extrapolate total factor productivity growth that we have observed in the last 25 years into the future, that gives us rates of growth of around 2%. Now, there's lots of controversy around this issue. There is evidence in some quarters that the rate of total factor productivity growth is slowing. There's not universal agreement on that amongst economists studying the subject, whether it's actually slowing down or not. But I don't think any would suggest that we would see a rate of slowdown in total factor productivity growth that would be as low as what we're seeing in population growth. So we need to ask ourselves as we look to the longer term future, is the question one of access, affordability, or availability? If we view, as I think we should, long-run food insecurity as a poverty question, it enlarges and reorients the portfolio of policy choice. Agriculture and trade policy will, of course, continue to feature. But also a wider framework that recognizes inclusive economic growth as the only sustainable cure. Policies that recognize that promote pro-income opportunities both on and off the farm, foster adjustment and transition out of farming, and at a pace perhaps faster than ever, or at a pace that would need to be faster than ever, that would focus on outcomes and not on agents. For example, on smallholders. The targeting of smallholders needs to be brought into question as a policy for achieving progress in agriculture and put in the context of targeting people who are poor. And we need to make sure that the kind of progress that we have made in ensuring social protection for the most vulnerable is enhanced and continued. Summing up then, the short-term responses to the successive waves of the crisis were impressive, important lessons were learned. In the medium term, focus on policy and market failures, socially profitable public investments in agriculture, and in the long run, recognize that the long-run agenda is more than just agriculture, and that the best policy mix depends both on the length of run and the stage of development. Thank you.